What's next? Adopt a dog or a cat? Become a minister of religion? Take up a course in something you've always wanted to do? Tell someone you love them? Get married, have a baby, plant roses, give up meat, give up the drink, give up, give up, give up. Keep a diary, lead a service, read at church, join the church. This new year brings endless possibilities and opportunities. But for me, I simply recommit myself to the vision, mission, and purpose of this Unitarian community. The psalm for the wintered soul which I read didn't inspire today's address, but it did provide me with a meaningful prayer as I begin a whole new journey in life and ministry. Whatever this year brings, it certainly will be different from the last one. My soul may be wintered right now, but soon the spring will bring warmth and new life, not just to the earth, but I pray also to our souls. Now, doubts, concerns, and fears, questions will all remain. But now I am older, hopefully wiser, and ever encouraged to look out from my wandering eyes toward a future of possibility and greater meaning. Now, tomorrow hasn't happened yet. We just have today. And that alone creates endless possibilities for what tomorrow could be. Because we are not confined. We have the privilege of belonging to this community, of belonging to this time. And we will not be confined in our thoughts or our beliefs. We were not created to remain confined by ignorance or darkness, but to live in the light. Cynthia Fredo, in her writing, prayed that she would always be ready for my emergence and unfolding, that I might soar ever higher into the light of my own becoming, into the light of my own transcendence. And I believe that this is true at whatever stage of life you are at. She is echoing those Unitarian Transcendentalists who believed in the inherent dignity of every individual, the spiritual connection between humanity and nature, and the power of intuition and self-reliance over logic and societal norms. The Transcendentalists believed in the universal spirit that unites all things, urging people to trust their inner voice to discover divine truths, but also to live simple and non-conformist lives. And in the face of injustice, they believe that we are called upon to engage in some form of activism. When the Transcendentalists were at their peak in the late 1800s, slavery was still legal, and women did not enjoy the same rights as men. Unitarianism at the time was very rational, but the Transcendentalists wished to redress the balance and bring the movement into a deeper spiritual expression. Now, this might be arguable, but I don't think we have a firm Transcendental movement within Unitarianism today, but we certainly have their influence. Reason, conscience, and toleration remain our inheritance, but holiness and spirituality are firmly planted in our lives. So what's next? As I said, I was never a fan of New Year resolutions. I believe we should always resolve to do better and remain open to the new. During the autumn, a group of us gathered here on a weekly basis to consider a book written by Unitarian minister Stephen Lingwood. The book was called Seeking Paradise. And in it, Stephen set out his ideas about how we might come to understand our mission, our vision, our purpose. And he invited his readers to engage in a guided discussion on the future of our Unitarian inheritance. For me, the experience was nourishing, to say the least. Now, the premise of the book was inspired by a motion at an annual meeting of the General Assembly of Unitarian and Free Christian Churches a number of years ago. And it concerned growth, filling the pews, more new members, and reversing the decline in membership of the Unitarian movement in the UK. And Stephen Lingwood in his book asks, why? Why should we grow? What do we offer the world that is worthy of saving and worthy of growing? And so we are invited to consider our mission, our vision, our purpose. Now, I think the group came to the conclusion that we here in Dublin are not just interested in increasing the numbers. And in my invitation to this reading group, I said, what does the future hold for this, our beloved Unitarian community? How will we nourish it, grow it, and hold it together and contribute to building the beloved community in the world? Because I believe our community has much to offer the contemporary spiritual seeker. It certainly did for me. And so a good number of us gathered here for 8 to 9 weeks to consider the questions Stephen posed to this Unitarian community. Many things struck me when people spoke. One person said that we seek to spread seeds of kindness. We are called to rewild the world with those seeds of kindness. The question asked that inspired that answer was, how do you imagine this Unitarian congregation acting as an outpost of paradise? Rewilding. Rewilding the world with seeds of kindness. And we might add, rewilding our souls with new spiritual ideas. Now, this presumes that we are an inherently spiritual species, but may have lost this innate sense of holiness due to our religious or secular education and indeed life experiences. But maybe we didn't lose it at all. We just didn't conform to what we were taught was the truth. Spirituality, after all, is a method of facing those ultimate questions, those questions about life and love, loss and despair. Are we ready to say to the world, come here and we will support your individual spiritual journey? Or better still, here is the spiritual discipline that this community offers. It's not easy, but we offer it genuinely and honestly. Everyone knows we do not have the answers to life's ultimate questions, but we work with those questions and we step up to them. Evangelism was another concept that came up during our reading of the book. Now, it wasn't something we embraced at all, for it brings up visions of street preachers warning us that our souls are damned to hell if we don't accept Jesus as our personal savior. It subjects us to theological terrorism. But Stephen offered a different, a new definition. He suggested that evangelism is the practice of giving the world something to see, to touch, and to try. I like to think of that as an invitation. Invite people to come through these doors. When I do that, am I evangelizing? And am I confident that they'll find here something meaningful? In the final chapter of the book, Stephen suggests that we embrace the Buddhist notion of being unattached to outcomes. He says the only way to grow the denomination is to be non-anxious and unattached to outcomes. The only way to grow the denomination is to have faith in something other than the denomination. I wonder, for me, is that the ideas that formed this Unitarian movement? The inherent goodness of humanity, the rejection of dogmas, creeds, and confessions of faith, and our refusal to accept the doctrines given to us by others as truth with a capital T. While we are here on earth, we have a responsibility to contribute to something bigger. But that great project of seeking paradise does not have to be completed by us. What is true of a person is true of a denomination. Contribute to the great work while you are alive. But don't worry, you're not the only one doing it, and it doesn't all rest on your shoulders. I believe there is an urgent need for spaces like ours, where people can come and express their joys and concerns as they wrestle with those ultimate questions that fill our hearts and our minds, our souls and our bodies. So what's next then? I suggest that we renew our membership of this congregation, of this community, not by filling in a form, but recommitting ourselves to the principles of this community: tolerance, conscience, freedom. And when we gather, may we share our wisdom and our questions about life's ultimate mysteries. And in doing so, we may grow wiser together. So let us be generous in our sharing, unafraid of judgment or disagreement. Let us be a witness in this city to a truly liberal and open spiritual life. We are people seeking truth, meaning, love, and for some, we seek a deep connection with the sacred, however you define it. Finally, this might be controversial, but I did try to construct a kind of mission statement. Now, I needed this, perhaps only for me, in order to understand what it is my ministry in the future might look like, might be, and whether that is here or elsewhere. Our mission is to provide open and inclusive spaces where people can discern the ultimate questions life poses to humanity. We do this through the provision of church services, through pastoral care, through special interest groups, children's programs, and rites of passage ceremonies, and more, a lot more that we have yet to discover. We are building a strong and united spiritual ecosystem that supports a person's freedom of conscience, freedom of expression, and freedom from imposed doctrines and confessions of faith. We seek to effect change in our society through various projects undertaken and led by members and in coalition with like-minded friends and organizations. Our greatest asset is not necessarily this beautiful building. It is you. It is this community, united in its diversity of belief and unbelief. So this is my prayer at this moment of my discernment about the future, and you are welcome to take some of it for you. As I seek to discern my path, may I follow the guidance of my heart. May I be open to unexpected truths. May our chalice flame remind me to welcome all the truth of my life, to welcome all who wish to enter into the beloved community of love and compassion. Amen.